The revolution will be broadcast.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle Radio, your ghost man and demon hunter show, Demon Hunter.
Yes.
What's going on, brother?
Oh, I'm here. I'm having a good time. I'm reading stuff. That's always fun because, you know, I have to cover one eye when I do it.
There you go. Well, let's read this. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Spreaker, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, and the new Geeky Antics. Check them out, guys, at geekyantics.net. Radio for the geek in you. The SWL Project, give some love, share some love. Everybody needs some love. Check them out. SWLproject.com. Of course, Attentive Home Healthcare. Good people willing to help the ones you love, especially if you're in Indianapolis, Indiana, because that's where they're at. Check them out. AttentiveHHC.org or com. One of the two. Anyway, welcome back.
I think it's Org. I think you were right the first time.
Org. Sounds like a Titan name. My name is Org.
I am king of the trolls. I am Org.
King of the trolls. Anyway, I said king of the trolls. Is that what you said? King of the trolls?
King of the trolls.
King of the trolls. That's epic. That shows your geeky side, everything else. Yeah, anyway, guys, welcome back to studio. We do this little thing called the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show every single Sunday night. Well, we miss some here and there, but...
Occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally. Hey, the new house move is going good, Nate.
How is that going?
Well, it's cool because I'm used to being in the basement studio. Now I'm in an upstairs... office studio, actually staring out a window.
You've joined us on the second floor.
I have. I've been with the above ground dwellers now. I felt like a chud before. Anyway,
deep from his underground bunker.
Hey, I wanted
Sean
to tell
Burris
you.
Sean Burris plans the future of geeks and gore.
Geeks
everywhere.
And gore. Hey, did you notice we mentioned at the beginning Geeky Antics, guys? GeekyAntics.net, our good friend out there. Yomar, we're working with them, guys. We're going to be there as well. Of course, the good people at Spreaker, man, special thanks to them. They've been great, especially when we had Dan Aykroyd on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they put us out on their Twitter and everything else. Great.
The Twitter.
Twitter, as our buddy Dan Fogler would say.
Fogler.
Anyway, Spreaker, thanks, guys. Can't thank you enough. And, of course, we look forward to Geeky Antics, to geekyantics.net, guys, joining their home, too.
Now, Sean, are we more geek or gore?
I don't know. I think we're everything. You know,
I know we're from geek to gore, but are we more geek or gore? That's my question.
I would say it's hard to tell. It's like 50-50. Maybe if anybody's in the chat room, you can tell us. Are we geeky or gory? Or sci-fi?
I'd love to know.
I don't know. I'd love to know, too. But anyway, it's funny you bring up geeky because I don't know if it's an age thing or if it's a geek thing. But, okay, I'm going to lose my man card. To start with. So I'm going to tell this whole story to you and the Shadow Nation. And this weekend, we went to, the wife and I like to go, and I never thought to, the Bed Bath & Beyond.
Okay, you've lost one man card.
One
Let's
man.
See
how many do you get? Is it?
I think you get nine in a lifetime, and when all nine are gone, you're done.
Yeah, well, anyway, we went to the Bed Bath & Beyond, and of course, it's my favorite holiday season coming up, or both of our favorite holiday season, of course.
Indeed.
The season of shadows. Halloween, All Hallows' Eve. But we're coming up on it, so that means all the pumpkin candles, pumpkin house sprays, all that stuff's coming up.
Pumpkin lattes,
everything. So the wife said, hey, we got 40% off coupon. Let's go. You got to have a coupon. You can't survive in that
You
place.
Can't go to Bed Bath & Beyond without the coupon. You need at least the 20% coupon that comes in the mail.
You know, they want like $23 for a three-wick candle. I'm just talking about a candle that fits in your hand. Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. But they are great candles. Anyway, there goes another guy card. So we went in there, and it was funny.
You're going to lose them all tonight alone.
No, listen. So the place was kind of packed, and there was, you know, different types, younger girls and older women, and no men except for me. And
except for you.
Except for the ghost man. And Stacy, my wife, was over across the aisle, and she was looking at all these, you know, scented candles and body baths and all this stuff. And I was just looking at the candles, and I was like, hey, babe. And I turned around, and I said, look at this candle. It's on sale or whatever. And this young girl, she probably 17 or 18, all gothed out and everything. She walks in between us and she like stops because I'm turning around. She didn't want to hit me. And I go, oh, hi. And she looks at me and just starts laughing and walks out. And my wife's going, what's wrong with this girl? So I don't know if she thought I was trying to pick her up or she's like, Jesus, who's this guy with the Abraham Lincoln beard or what? But, you know, just being nice, I was like, oh, hey, excuse me. And maybe she thought I was like, hey, how you doing? I don't know. But to that girl out there, kiss it, because I was like, man, have I gotten old? We've gotten old, man.
Oh, we've gotten so old.
Mm. I remember, you know, 18-year-old girl, usually, maybe she had mental disorder. I would like to think that. Maybe it was a mental disorder.
Any young girl who doesn't find you attractive, Sean, must have a mental disorder.
Well, no, I wasn't hitting on her. I was simply turning around, and I said, oh, hi. Like, excuse me, but hey. And I was like bumped into her face almost, you know. And, yeah, she just started going, that little,
It got to you, though, didn't it?
Well, you know, you think, Jesus, you know, what's wrong with these people?
I'm just not into goth chicks.
Yeah, I should have said, hey, listen, freak, keep walking. I don't want you to eat my soul or something.
Anyway. You remember, you had that really bad, you know, goth witch chick experience when you were a kid with the flick to the back of your neck.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh, yeah, yeah. If you guys just join us from the Shadow Nation, if you don't know what the Shadow Nation is, if you're joining us for the first time because you want to hear the bad epic interview tonight, the bad A epic interview with Mr. David K. Harbour from Netflix's smash hit coming up. If you're just joining us, the Shadow Nation is what we call our family. Our family listeners. So if you don't know the story, what were we talking about? What were we talking about? You said something.
We were talking about the gothic witch that cursed you when you were a child.
When I was in sixth grade, I was sitting in the desk, and this stranger girl, I'm talking about Stranger Things, this strange girl sat behind me. I never picked on her. I didn't even know her, but the guy next to me kept picking on her, and he had said something, and I looked at him and kind of smiled, and all of a sudden I felt a little finger on the back of my neck, and I felt like a small electrical shock, like electrostatic energy. And I'm not making this up, man. And all of a sudden, my nose starts gushing blood. I mean, gushing.
You had it coming. How dare you smirk.
It was weird. And then I just went to the bathroom, wiped my nose off, and that was that. But yeah, wow. I was scared of her the rest of my life. So if you're listening out there, witch lady, don't put your hex on me. Anyway, you went to the Ren Faire, man. Talk about that.
I did go to the Ren Faire. After we had our guest on last week talking about the Ren Faire, you know, I used to be a Ren rat.
Yeah.
I worked the Ren Faires, and so I still have a lot of friends who worked the Ren Faires. Mm. And I went down and stayed, and I wandered the fair. I took some pictures. I went to a joust. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
But mostly Ren Faires is sitting around drinking with your friends.
Okay.
That's really what Ren Faire is about, sitting around drinking with your friends. I used to spend whole days at the fair, never leave the pub. You know, it's nice. It was just that's what you do with your friends. That's where you meet up with friends you haven't seen all year long.
Right.
It's just a fun place to go. But I did realize how old I'm getting.
How's that?
From going there, Sean, because when I used to go to Ren Faire,
yeah,
if you had rented like one room somewhere with a single bed and a bare bulb, you usually had about 12 girls who wanted to come back to your room with you, because not so much because you were good looking, but everybody was looking for a place to sleep, and Rennies don't make money.
Yeah, nobody rides for free, man.
Yeah,
blank
that's
grass
right.
or gas.
And, but this time, you know, I'm a little older.
Yeah,
I have some money. I had a suite.
I see.
Nobody was looking to come back and party at my room.
I know.
Not that I would have, you know, I'm a married man now, but,
right.
you know, an yes, offer would have been nice.
Did
come
you dress
on,
up like I, a, did you dress up like an elf or?
No, yesterday I had a little bit of leather armor going, and today, or actually it was a large leather vest, and today I had full pirate gear going.
Really?
Maybe if I make it to your party this year, the Brewer Bash, or the Burris Bash, I will. wear the pirate outfit for you.
You got to. You got to wear the pirate outfit. I mean, what? I want to see it, man. I got.
Does that outfit make you a pirate? Sort of.
I'm trying to stifle you. I don't want to stifle you.
I'm just talking right over you. You're trying to stifle me.
Anyway, we haven't done that in a while. Bumper wars. We need to do that.
I need to load up some bumpers.
Anyway, Nathan.
Mr. Burris.
Got a Renfair on. Without further ado, sir. You ready for this?
Please.
I think so.
Tell me what's coming next, Sean.
I want to. You might hear the music.
I hear the music. I've heard that music lately.
You have? Tonight's guest. He's an American actor. His amazing career started with the bright lights of Broadway. Since then, he has brought thrills and chills to your television and the silver screen. His recent works include Black Mass with Johnny Depp, the new Suicide Squad, only 2 days old, actually, and the Netflix smash hit, Stranger Things. That's right, Mr. David Harbour stops by studio tonight. I'm excited, Nathan.
Can I just call him Hoop tonight?
Yeah, just call him Chief Hoop. That's what Winona Ryder called him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Mr. David Harbour, superstar.
Stupor. We're stupefied.
Yeah, superstar stops by studio. Guys, get excited for that. If you're not, you don't have a pulse and da-da-da-da-da. We've covered that before. And, yeah, so we got him all booked up. And I couldn't believe it because he's busy.
He's a very busy man. Are you kidding?
Well, we got to talk to you about the new news. Everybody, this was a sleeper. Netflix comes out. They have some great stuff. Orange is the New Black. A lot of chick flicks. They love that. Yeah. Even some of the guys do. They've had a bunch of stuff. I don't remember. On Netflix original series. But then, they had Penny Dreadful. I think that was a Netflix original.
I saw that on HBO Showtime, one of them. I never thought
Dracula and the Wolfman and all that could have so much sex because Penny Dreadful was nuts. I loved it. But Stranger Things comes out and it really took the people. I've been following it on Facebook and everything. It took the people by storm. I mean, they didn't know what was coming. And when we had Justin Shankaro from the old Erie, Indiana on, he didn't even know about the project. And we told him, you know, there's supposed to be a new thing coming out. It's based in this little town called Hawkins, Indiana. And it's supposed to be, they said, X-Files meets Twilight Zone meets some other strange thing. And they hit it on the nail.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I wasn't even thinking of that interview when I talked to you today and said, this is like X-Files meets Erie, Indiana.
Erie, Indiana. And it absolutely is without, you know, so much comedy. But there is a little bit of comedy. But if you guys haven't checked it out, I definitely suggest. Don't you, Nate?
Sean finally got me to download Netflix for this one because I never used to. I would never do Netflix.
Yeah.
You knew me. I didn't want to do it. And finally got me. I finally downloaded it and been watching Stranger Things for 2 days now.
Well, I believe
days.
There's a name for people that don't want Netflix for that whopping $9 a month.
Cheap?
Yeah. Tie day.
Yeah, that's me.
It's tie day. Yeah. Anyway. So, what else? What else you got?
Well, how about the Olympics, sir?
No, what about that?
Have you been watching them at all?
I've been watching the bug spray. I hear they have a
you
shortage
can see
of bug
the
spray.
Cloud of bug spray raise over Rio like it was a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, I seen something on Netflix, man. They had lighting of the Olympic torch and it was a big Citronella candle. It's fun. It's fun. It's not fun. It's not fun.
It's a scary concept when you think about it. You know, thousands and thousands of people from all over the world going to a place that has a mosquito-borne virus right now, and it's spreading. So it's in the U.S. now. Not to scare people, but we are a gore show as well, folks. And I like to get that little conspiracy theory stuff out there.
I'd like to get your gore on.
What happens if a pandemic occurs?
What happens
if Zika leads to the zombie virus?
Yeah, everybody's got the Walking Dead on their brain now. So
they
every
do.
Time there's a virus, they're like, oh, my God, it's it.
Yep.
It's
That's
the
it.
End. It's the end. I mean, we had mosquito problems years ago. If you remember, I forget what.
West Nile virus.
West Nile. There you go. It was everywhere with the mosquitoes. Everybody was putting their kid in mosquito nets. And there's been cases here in Indiana. I'm sure there's cases there in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You can't tax out the mosquitoes there.
Well, you got to remember, Sean, I'm about 90 minutes south from Plum Island.
Yeah.
The Animal Research Center, which, if anybody doesn't know what Plum Island is, if you ever saw Silence of the Lambs, that was where they offered to send Hannibal for 2 weeks out of the year.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that was part of his deal. Plum Island and Animal Research Center. And that's where they believe the Montauk Monster came from.
Yeah.
And where they think Lyme disease may have been developed. Again, conspiracy theory, folks. But, you know, few hour offshore is an animal research center where they test this stuff. And all of a sudden, Lyme disease in Connecticut.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Lyme disease. It's named for Lyme, Connecticut. So...
there you go. Lyme disease. That's an important safety tip. Thank you.
That is. That is. But hey, where I was going with all this with the Olympics was I have done nothing but watch. I haven't really been watching the Olympics. I've been watching specials on the Olympics taking place in Rio.
Right. Okay.
HBO did a special on it. You know, there's been specials on CBS and NBC. But this was supposed to be a big moneymaker for Rio.
Right.
In order to get the actual rights to hold the Olympics in Rio, they had to promise to spend more than any other country would spend to hold the Olympics there.
In bug spray. Yeah.
But since then, anybody who's been buying their gasoline for under $2 a gallon, their main source of income, gone.
Right.
So there's been no money coming in and all the money going out. And it's been a real, you know, everybody's enjoying the Olympics, I'm sure. But this has not been a good thing, Sean, and makes you wonder what's going to happen next.
Well, did you see the first gold medal to come out?
I did not.
The liberals are going nuts. It was for air gun shooting or something. It was some kind of rifle thing. You know, everybody's in uproar over guns in America and, you know.
And our first gold medal.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was amazing. They were commenting, you know, American girls know how to handle their weapons. So, you know, the liberals were loving it.
So. Oh, we're not a political show, but yeah, that is kind of funny.
We say that each week, but I'm thinking we're going to start being a political show because this isn't normal politics this year.
Well,
speaking of which, what about all these mysterious deaths following the Clinton campaign?
We brought this up last week. Yes,
we did.
Have been some conspiracy theories going on. What's going on there, Sean? Please enlighten me.
Well, I thought we'd have a little fun thing today because it's you can't write this, man. Actually, they've been reporting on it, so you can write it.
We should have asked Dan Aykroyd these questions because he did Spies Like Us.
Yeah. Oh, he did. He did. But guys, something is going on with these people they call Clintons, you know, and we're not in favor of any part. Well, we are, but we're not going to talk about who we're in favor of. But I mean, we're going to go with the one with the most mysterious murders. And I can't say murders. So we're going to play
deaths, mysterious deaths,
our G&D best guess game. And we're going to do it with the theme of the strange deaths surrounding the Clinton family. Suicide. Which one was ruled suicide and which one was natural cause?
Okay.
All right. You think you're ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, and of course, last week there was just a brand new one. So you want to Google. Okay, John. There is no John, guys. I'm making him up. He's a ghost. Start the clock. I'm starting it. Here we go.
There he was. That was done.
I had to bring in the music. Okay. Mysterious deaths surrounding the Clinton campaign. You got to rule suicide or murder. What did they declare these suspicious deaths? Okay, first one up the bat, and this concludes the old man Clinton, too. Billy Boy, Tricky Bill. Anyway, James McDougal was Clinton's convicted Whitewater partner. Did he dive in
the parent? So he was convicted, but the Clintons weren't.
Yes, he was convicted. Okay. Clintons weren't. Suicide or natural cause?
Natural cause.
Heart attack. Next, Mary Mahoney, a former White House intern, was blank July 1997 at a Starbucks. Was she
shot.
Murdered or natural death?
She was shot.
She was shot. She was. She was actually shot inside the Starbucks coffee. Number three, Vince Foster, former White House counselor. Was he found dead of natural causes or possible suicide?
Natural causes.
Suicide.
Oh, was it a suicide?
Yeah, number four. Mr. Ron Brown, Secretary of Commerce and former DNC chairman.
This was a mysterious death.
Mysterious death. Well, it was reported as died by impact in a plane crash.
Okay.
There's a couple more of these, too. Number five, Victor Reiser. Montgomery Reiser. There's two of them there. Did they, A, die in a private plane crash? Two, found murdered? Or three, both suspected suicide?
I don't know.
You don't know? Both died in a private plane crash in July of 92. Number six.
Were they in a band? Because that happens a lot with people in bands.
La Bamba. Paul Tully, Democratic National Committee political director, found what in a hotel room? By suicide? He's found dead in a hotel room, of course. By suicide or natural causes?
Natural causes.
Suicide. That's what it was ruled. Hey.
I'm four down now. I've gotten, two right?
Yeah. Ed Wiley, Clinton fundraiser, found blank. No, he was found dead. I keep messing this up. In November of 93, was it ruled A, suicide, or B, natural cause?
This was the crushed windpipe, correct?
No.
No?
Or three, gunshot wound.
I guess we'll go with gunshot wound.
You got it. Jerry Parks, head of Clinton's National Security.
Gubernatorial?
Yeah, there you go. No, yeah, that's it. Gubernatorial Security Goober. Team in Little Rock. He was A, murdered, B, suicide, or C, died in a plane crash.
Let's go with murdered.
There you go. Gunned down in his car at a deserted intersection outside of Little Rock.
It's like a scene out of The Godfather.
Yeah, it is. Okay, well, we're going to do a couple more because these have been in the news here recently, Nathan. Here we go. Last two. Most recent, the DNC lawsuit scandal you might have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
These gentlemen. The first one, July 8th. The Democratic staffer, Mr. Seth Conrad. Was he found A, murdered? B, found with a suicide attempt? Or C, died in a plane crash?
That would be, I'm going to say murdered.
Seth Conrad found murdered. Murdered in a park. August 2nd, least... last but not least. I did that wrong. August 2nd, Mr. Sean Lucas was found.
Was this the crushed windpipe?
A, murder. B, plane crash. Or C, suicide.
Murdered.
Pending autopsy. That was a trick question. Yeah.
Okay, pending autopsy.
Yeah, it's pending autopsy.
It's been too soon. It's too soon. Too soon, Sean. Too soon.
I think it was John Williams Ash, June 22nd, found with a crushed windpipe. It was a barbell lifting accident, apparently.
Yeah, well, you know what? I used to be quite the guy who worked out, so I can understand that. Sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. That happens in a crowded gym with a bunch of people in it. Yeah, no problem. Must have came straight down on him. It must have been his first time lifting. You know what they say? What's the thing at the what's the gym that says no crunking or whatever? It's a no crunk zone.
Oh, is that we probably shouldn't say the name of a company, but
new gym. He crunked that day.
Ooh, he crunked.
Get it? Crunked.
Yeah.
I said crunked. No crunking zone. Anyway,
his membership was revoked.
So guys, if we do disappear,
yeah. We just focused on too many things at once, Sean. If somebody walks by you and pokes you in the leg with an umbrella, it was nice knowing you.
It is. It is, absolutely. Well, you know, we are at 7:28, and we started a little late today, so you never know what's going to happen. What do you think? Should we go to break?
We probably should, because... we have a big guest calling in tonight.
We do have a big guest coming in. Guys, each week on the show, we support the little man on the show. So we play an independent band, don't we, Nate?
Yep, I got to go, Sean.
Okay, sounds good. Guys, tonight's band, Apollo, name of the song, Antica. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Dan Aykroyd, also known as Dr. Ray Stantz, Ghostbuster, and you are listening to Ghostman and Demon Hunter, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one and only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest, he's an American actor. His amazing career started with the bright lights of Broadway. Since then, he's brought thrills and chills to your television and the silver screen. His recent works include Black Mass, Suicide Squad, and the Netflix smash hit, Stranger Things. Help us welcome to studio tonight, Mr. David Harbour. David, what's going on, brother? Dave, are you there?
I'm there. I'm here.
Did you guys hear me talking?
We did not.
Oh, that's terrible. Let me do it again. Tonight's guest, he's an American actor.
Oh, no, we heard that. We heard that.
No, we heard that part. I just said thrills and chills, and then you cut out.
See, that's terrible. I forgot to bring you guys back in. That's my professionalism. Anyway, Dave Harbour, man, thanks so much for coming in studio tonight, because I tell you what, I'm a huge fan. You become the bad A on the smash hit Netflix series, Stranger Things, man. What's going on? Your career's like, well, you're in everything.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I mean, I'm very happy about the series, you know. Like, that really is something special. And, I think we sort of knew it when we were making it. I mean, you always hope that it's going to be good. And we thought we were making something special. But then when I saw it all put together and then when it came out, to have people respond the way they do, I mean, it's just a really special moment for me when you feel like, you know, you feel like you did your job. You feel like you moved people and stuff. So it is a very beautiful time. I'm very grateful for it.
Right. Well, you know, that's just the thing. I mean, I've been following you for years. And, of course, one of the most recent you did was your work with Johnny Depp. That scene where you guys are talking about steak sauce. I want to know, what was the ingredient, man? No, you did tell
secret
me.
Secret ingredient. I can't tell you, man. It's a family secret. You're going to have to kill me for it.
See, you learned that.
I learned that scene, man.
You never tell the family secrets. It's like that commercial, exactly, the beans with that dog. Yeah, but anyway, man, big weekend for you. You just had Suicide Squad happen on Friday.
I haven't seen that movie yet, so you got to tell me how that is. Anybody who's seen it, let me know.
Well, Sean's daughter went to see it, so she could tell us.
how did she like it? Can she get in? What is it? It's PG-13 or something? Yeah. How old is his daughter?
Well, she's 7, Dave. She's but her
really, she went alone and bought a ticket.
Yeah, she bought a ticket. She said,
tall.
"My dad's interviewing
very
Mr.
Tall. Okay.
Yeah, she said her dad's interviewing Mr. Harbor tomorrow." But no, my uncle, her uncle took her yesterday, and he said it was amazing. Said he loved every minute of it,
cool.
And so I can't wait to get
nice.
In there and see it myself.
We're just too busy in studio. We don't get to go to the movies anymore. They have to send them to us.
Right, exactly.
No, Nathan actually downloaded. I've been on Netflix for years, but Nathan downloaded this just for you. He's actually, and he's a tie day.
It's a good investment, though, Nathan. I mean, I got to say, like, I think just some of the best stuff in the world is coming out on Netflix right now. The Netflix, like, original programming is just, I think it's better than most of the stuff you can see in the movie theaters and certainly most of the stuff you can see on other channels on TV. So it is well worth the expense, not just for me, but for the upcoming programming. I think you'll find it a very your entertainment dollar well spent, sir.
Well, I have to say that now I will be able to get to watch all of Stranger Things. I'll be able to watch a few of the other independent shows that are on there. Plus, I'll finally get to see the last episode of Lost. So,
well, I would have to say,
is Lost on Netflix right now?
I hope so, because I've never seen the last episode.
Oh, really? You don't know what happens? Yeah,
I don't. Everybody just
it's
goes.
It's funny, you know. A lot of people make comparisons about Stranger Things and Lost because there's a lot of a lot of stuff that we don't explain at the end of season one. But I remember, I was not a huge Lost fan, but then I got into it. I got into it kind of late, and I binged a bunch of the seasons. And then I remember watching those final couple seasons being like, how are you guys going to tie this together? Like, please tell me somebody has a plan. And then feeling like nobody had a plan. And I hope for the fans of Stranger Things that you guys know that that is not the case with Stranger Things. I give you my personal guarantee that we will not get lost in our own story. I promise.
Well,
you've all heard it here. Dave promises there is a plan.
That's my personal guarantee for whatever that's worth.
See, he gave us the insider scoop, man. We got to use this, Nathan. Secrets with David. No, but Dave, not only the thing, I want to get into your past life and how you got into this, because
all
you
right.
do have an amazing career, brother. And you know what? You're awesome. You connect with
your
fans.
We're talking Stranger Things, and now you're talking past lives, Sean.
Yeah.
That's just going to go in a totally different direction.
That's how this show is. We, pick and choose. We go here and there. But, you know, you connect with your fans. I mean, we've had a lot of people on here. I've never seen somebody to take the time to really get involved with their fan base like that. And
yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's sort of like, it's relatively new. I mean, I've had people sort of know about my career through the years and be like, pleased that I've been in stuff or say I'm good in stuff or been affected by certain stuff. But really with the release of Stranger Things, I feel like people are really coming out of the woodwork. And I think it's just because it's a genuinely moving show. And I think when you touch people, like, they have a tendency to want to reach out. And I have this, I love when people want to reach out for the right reasons. There's all kinds of reasons that people reach out, and some of them are not the right reasons, but genuinely, I feel like all the response to Stranger Things, people are reaching out because they just are appreciative, and they want to learn more about the show, or they want to just thank you for what you've done. And you know, it's hard because it gets a little overwhelming with the popularity of the show to respond to everybody, but I wish I could, you know, and I just am so, I'm so grateful and appreciative that people are watching it and that they're, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get in there some more and do some more episodes and get back into this story, because I love putting this story out in the world and I love that people are watching it and really liking it.
With Stranger Things, it took me back to the late 70s and 80s when I grew up. It did, man. I think it did that for most of the United States, most of the world. It put you back to when we were kids. And it's that old timey. I mean, it's set in the 80s. It's that old timey.
Yeah, 1983,
And you guys are in Hawkins, Indiana, which I'm in Indiana. I'm in Greenwood, Indiana, right outside Indianapolis. So, of course, I went to the map, started looking for Hawkins.
I know it does. It's hard to find, isn't it?
It is
hard to find on a map.
Well, there used to. We had Justin Shankaro, actor, voice artist, Justin Shankaro, on, and he was from a little TV show you might not remember called Erie, Indiana. Do you remember that at all?
I don't remember that. No.
And it was kind of a comedy deal, but they would. It was him and the guy from Hocus Pocus. I forget his name, but they traveled around this small town called Erie, and they Erie, Indiana, and they found all this stuff. Like Elvis lived down the. Lived down the way, and he'd be like, thank you, little paper boy. And Bigfoot would go through the trash, and they would go on these things. And everybody has been saying Stranger Things is like a cross between that, Twilight Zone, and the X-Files. I even read an article last week where they said Stranger Things, because they brought back the X-Files for six episodes or whatever. People lost their mind, and now they're saying Stranger Things has just went with X-Files, the need for. People are going insane.
Yeah. I mean, the response has been really, really terrific. I mean, you know, the interesting thing about this show is that it does, as you say, like it's set in 1983 and it has these homages to Steven Spielberg movies of that time, like E.T. and the Goonies. And so, you know, I think so, you might feel when you start to watch it, or in terms of picking up, like, oh, maybe there's just going to be a rehashing of those movies. But I think that, like, it's such an original show because it uses those movies and it uses these tropes as its lexicon, like as its alphabet, but we created like a really special new world. So it's almost like if you were to remake E.T., it wouldn't be as powerful, but because we use these techniques, these like homages and stuff, but we're telling an entirely new, interesting, original story.
Yeah.
I think it just works beautifully, and I've never been more proud of anything I've been involved in. This is, I think, my stamp on American culture thus far. Like, I think this thing, I'm very, very proud of this show. Every minute of it.
Yeah, you should.
Now, are you ever there on set and something happens and you just look at the director and say, Hoop wouldn't do that?
Oh, Hop, yeah.
Hop, sorry, Hop.
Yeah, no, we, yeah, I mean, we... like, you know, I would get in arguments with them about various things. And, you know, the thing is, they're really smart guys, these Duffer brothers. They're like little, I mean, I call them little. They're 30 years old. But they have this Netflix. I mean, they're just little geniuses. So we would get in arguments about different stuff. But basically, we were on the same page because, like, I don't know, really the movies that I grew up on are those late 70s, early 80s movies. I was born in 75. So like the Spielberg movies of the 80s were very influential to me. And so I sort of understood the leading man that they were looking for. And I think they appreciated that in me. Like he's, you know, when we meet him in the beginning of the series, he's not a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like he's a drunk and he pops pills and he kind of sleeps around and he makes fun of people. And, you know, he certainly doesn't work out. I mean, all these things that, you know, he's not the best dude. And then we sort of start to see him galvanize and become this heroic guy, and that seems to be something that I don't know, I don't see that much in movies anymore.
Yeah.
But I used to see a lot growing up with these guys like Gene Hackman and even Harrison Ford and Jack Nicholson, and you know, these leading men of that time who were a little less pretty, who were a little grittier, a little more unapologetically masculine, if you will. So I think they hired me sort of for that understanding a little bit. And so we didn't get in that many fights. But when we did, you know, I would defer to them because I do consider them smarter than me, which is a rare thing. I have a very healthy ego, but I did think that these guys were smarter than me. So I would always at the end of the day, be like, I don't know, what do you guys think? It was a good collaboration.
There was a scene in episode 2, and I was talking to Sean about this today, and there's a scene where you wake up in the middle of the night, and you walk out on the porch, and your girlfriend follows you out. Is that your girlfriend?
She's not my girlfriend. She's my girlfriend for a night.
She's your girlfriend for a night.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a couple, but yeah, Hop doesn't have much intimacy. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
She walks out, and you're out there in pants and boots and a flannel shirt, and she comes running out in a T-shirt. She goes, what are you doing out here? It's freezing. And you tell her to go back inside, and all I could think is, right there, I could only see Hop looking and going, well, put on some pants and shoes. It's freezing.
He's jealous.
Put on a coat.
Yeah, he's...
That was the transformation point, I think, for me to say, oh, he's softening.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. All right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's... I also think that he's just... he himself in that moment is very tortured. I mean, he has this thing where he says, you ever feel cursed? You know, like that this guy killed himself in the small town and this kid goes missing all in the same... like 3-day period, and nothing like that's ever happened in like 100 years of this small town, and like he sort of takes it on himself that it's some kind of curse that he's bearing and stuff. So I think he might be being nicer, but he might also just be in his own head and be like, you know, go back to bed, I want to smoke this cigarette,
right? Yeah, I'll be in when I be in. Like you said, you're one of you're one of the tough nuts now, you're one of the bad guys, you're gonna be right up there with Eastwood, man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is kind of the model, you know.
You're the anti-hero.
Those guys that are a little bit like tough love, you know. I mean, there's lots of scenes too where I do think that he is a good guy and he's in it for the right reasons. But you know, he's certainly a guy that whose parents told him when he was very young that, you know, as a man, like you never cry and like you never, you know, feel things and stuff like that. So I think that like he's, you know, he's a tough guy and he wants other people around him to toughen up as well. And I have a lot of interest in people like that, people that are hard on themselves and they're hard on others and sometimes can be difficult to be around. I think those people can sometimes be the most interesting people in my life.
Yeah. You know, I was doing my homework for the night, Big Dave, and I was checking out some of the fan sites about Stranger Things, and they're already asking, okay, when is David's episode of The Walking Dead? Because they're saying this guy's made for it. He's a sheriff's deputy, or he's the sheriff. And, you know, you're wearing the outfit, and they're like, when's it going to happen? So go ahead and tell everybody.
You know, I've actually never seen that show. There are men with their sheriffs on that. There are cops on that show, or... I mean, I should be on that show if there are,
you
like,
should be on that
cops
show.
On that show. Really?
You got to be.
Well, maybe what we can do is we can just bring some zombies into Stranger Things.
Ooh.
And we can just get all the Walking Dead fans to come over and just watch our show.
There you go.
We can take some of their zombies or something. They don't need to take our cops.
We can
incorporate some of their zombies.
That's it.
During the Walking Dead season, we have a section of our show we call Rot Talk. So if you do that, then we can include Stranger Things in Rot Talk.
What is Rot Talk? Is that like where you talk about rotting corpses?
Yes, yes, it is.
Really, zombie rot, what do you discuss on Rot Talk? Is it like the
we give out all the spoilers for the show.
Or,
yes,
we just
you give out spoilers.
Yeah,
okay. So it's not actually a medical show where you talk about. Okay.
Us talking medical science. Yes.
Yeah, you imagine exactly. Like, this is how a body decomposes. And when we watched that episode of Walking Dead, we could clearly see that the nose should have fallen off before the ears, and it was just a mistake.
Yeah. I don't even know.
No, I guess it's not that technical.
We've been broadcasting for 10 years, had some of the biggest stars in America on, and I can't even bring your microphone in after break. We're going to talk about medical science. Anyway.
It's the new phone, Sean. It's the new phone.
Dave,
I heard you guys had some phone updates, huh? I hate when I have to update my phone.
Yeah, I told Nate, I said, David's coming to studio. We can't screw this up tonight. We got to call somebody. And whenever you have a huge guest on, something happens. It's Murphy's Law. But, you know, I wanted to talk some about your past real quick. I already gave the host schmill about the Broadway and all that amazing stuff. Dartmouth, I mean, you're educated. You're a New York boy. How did you get involved in it? Because your characters are so diverse. I mean, you've been in horror, you've been in drama, and now, you know, everything, sci-fi. How'd you start?
Yeah. How did I get involved in acting?
Yeah, when you were a little boy, did you know, hey, man, I want to do this?
And did you follow this genre on purpose, or did it find you?
It more found me. I mean, in terms of my impulse to act, like I sort of, you know, when I was 5 years old, I did The Wizard of Oz in kindergarten, and I loved it. And then, so I was just kind of a ham bone. Like, I liked getting up in front of a group of people and sort of showing off. And then, like, as I started to get to be a teenager, it became something different. It was like I started to see the world around me and to not understand it and to sort of think that people, even though they said they were behaving one way, they seemed to me to be behaving another. Yeah. So, like, you know, they said that they were friends with someone, and it seemed to me like they were being very aggressive and very violent. So this led to a sort of psychological, I guess, kind of, you know, inquiry into human beings and, like, what makes them what they are and, like, why they behave the way they behave. And then I wanted to, you know, talk about that, but the people don't – it's kind of boring. So the only way you can really talk about human beings is you can get up on stage and you can sort of reveal them, and people applaud for you. It's really great. So – I got in that way, and then I really only wanted to do theater. Like, my impulse very early on was, like, I read a lot of Shakespeare, a lot of, like, Brecht and Bernard Shaw, and, like, all these great playwrights throughout history. And I just love plays. I particularly love Shakespeare. And so I came to New York City, and I just wanted to be an actor. And I had a really hard time, like, the first about 3 years I was in New York. I thought I would just, you know, show up and everybody would be excited to have me in the world. they were not. They were like, you know.
It's amazing what you learn when you're waiting that first table, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's like you show up and you think, I'm going to be a star. New York's just waiting for me. Yeah. And you realize, like, nobody cares. And you hit that point when – and I love that because, you know, people are in – you guys are in the entertainment business. And, you know, it's just this business where it's like you sort of have these high dreams as a kid, and then you get crushed. And that being crushed is so important to actually developing a style and to actually developing an artistry and to actually doing what you do. Yeah. I think the people that sort of make it big really quick don't have to develop their talents or develop who they are as human beings. They just – you know, so that feel, that being crushed for the first 3 years in New York was really vital.
Yeah.
Because then I galvanized and I was like, look, you guys, nobody seems to want me here, but I'm going to be here. So you may as well get used to it. And so I started doing plays, and I did a ton of plays, and I still do plays, you know, and I love doing theater. And then I started to, like, the film and TV world started to kind of approach me, and I did some little roles in some movies, and then Sam Mendes saw me in a play. I did this play, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, on Broadway.
Oh yeah,
Kathleen Turner and Mirai Enos, who's actually the star of that show, The Killing. And we did this play, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Sam Mendes saw it, and then he offered me the part in Revolutionary Road, which was, like, my first sort of, like, big film. It was with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
It's good.
And it's, you know, it's kind of an arty film about suburban America. And that was sort of, like, the first, like, big film project I did. And then from there I started doing, you know, as you say, like, a variety of different stuff. But I got to say, like, it doesn't surprise me that I've sort of ended up in sci-fi type stuff, because it is my favorite stuff to watch.
Yeah.
You know, like, I when I was a kid growing up, I loved Star Wars, I loved Raiders of the Lost Ark, I loved adventure movies, and I loved sci-fi.
Yeah.
I love those Lord of the Rings movies that came out, and as you bring up X-Files, like, I was a rabid fan of the X-Files.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I love the X-Files, the original series, and those, I mean, the best episodes of those really were like art. I mean, they were, like, to me, like, as good as, like, a Rembrandt or something. I mean, those are some good, that's some good television.
Oh yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that, like, you know, what you sort of choose to love sometimes loves you back. And that's sort of what seems to have happened now that I'm an adult.
Yeah.
And so that's very cool.
Cause you can definitely see it. David, in your character, you can see that you love the sci-fi. I mean, you can see it from your walking through it.
Yeah, man.
You're walking through in your suit. You're in the crazy realm, and you're looking, you know, from the other side. So it's, you can see it. You're into it, man.
That's true.
That's what tripped me out.
I'm glad that comes across.
That's what tripped me out about David Duchovny. We were going to have him on the show. You know how painstakingly we work with the publicist going, hey, this is who we are. Yes, mm-hmm. we're one of mm-hmm. 10 billion other shows. But ours is unique. And we're talking to his publicist, and she says, well, he really doesn't do paranormal sci-fi type shows. I said, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. But I guess he's not into it. And but that's what made him famous, really, was the X-Files. So a lot
I know
of-
it's funny. Like he, it's very interesting. Like a guy like him, he, I think he's a terrific actor.
Sure.
You know, he's able to do that show so well. But that's what I've heard as well.
Yeah.
Is that he just really wasn't into that much. But that, a bit of that, a bit of that. That sort of distance, that mysteriousness that he has probably like is informed by that, those feelings of, you know, having complicated feelings about the genre itself. Like there's a bit of a, you can't quite pin Mulder down. And I think that David has that mystery to him.
Definitely.
That, you know, that may be a part of that, but that doesn't surprise me that he wouldn't be interested in doing shows about it. Cause I've heard that he's notoriously like not into the genre. Yeah.
No, knowing that about
but
him
I, on the
too.
Other hand, am,
knowing that about him too, when they remade the series for the six episodes, he actually had a scene where he was sitting there with all his old files, going, "These were all fake. How could I have been so fooled?" You know, it's
it's like a meta moment. Yeah.
Now when you went from stage to screen, there's that moment when you're sitting there, and as a stage actor, if you make a mistake, you just keep going. It's that's part of that night's performance. When you go to screen and you make a mistake and all of somebody's yelling cut and you have to start all over. What was that experience like? Because I had a bout with that early on and I was just like, what do you mean we have to shoot again?
What happened to you? What do you mean?
I went from doing stage to doing like episodes for PBS kind of stuff. And as I'm we're doing a scene and we're in a car. And if you're filming while driving in a car, if you make a mistake and they've got to shoot over it, they've got to pull the whole car around the entire block and start from the beginning again so that everything lines up. And,
it's true.
I must have done the same line six times because I didn't do it the way they wanted.
I mean, you know, it's funny, though. There are, like, other things because when you make mistakes, sometimes you do continue and you see what's happening. I remember, like, I had a little scene in this War of the Worlds movie that Spielberg directed, and I remember I was on, it was like Spielberg, it was Tom Cruise, and there was this woman who was playing a bartender and me, and I was like his buddy at the bar, and we were having a scene. At one point, the bartender messed up, and she just, in the middle of the take, she just yelled, oh, I messed, cut, and no. Tom Cruise leaned into her and said, I said, honey, Steven Spielberg's the director of this movie, so he's the one who yells cut.
He's the only one who yells cut.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I mean, some of the, you know, Jeff Bridges also said this cool thing where he said when mistakes happen in film, they're like little gifts, Buddhist gifts or something. So sometimes what can happen is like you'll be doing a scene and you'll, you know, you'll mess something up or you'll start to feel self-conscious or embarrassed. And if you just let that happen, sometimes the scene can take on like a new life. It can be actually like really alive and really more interesting than what you plan to do.
Yeah.
And so a lot of acting, like theater, is rehearsed. Like you rehearse, and then you try to sort of recreate. But film acting, you capture. Like the camera actually captures action. You imprint it on, like, you know, celluloid or in pixel, right? So you're actually trying to capture like real life. So almost the more mistakes you make or the more you are just spontaneous, sometimes the better it is. And, you know, it's, the camera can just capture moments that just really happen. And in the editing room, they can put together all kinds of interesting stuff.
See,
so yeah, anyway, go ahead.
That didn't work for me, David. We were filming on A&E. We had our own TV show, Extreme Paranormal,
yeah,
which was like Stranger Things. We went out and looked for Stranger Things, and we found them.
Okay.
We were at a golf course. Nathan was in the back with my other co-host. And you know, when you're filming a car scene, they always put that dang light on the visor that you can't see nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm going down the road, and they go, pull into this golf course. We want to get this scene. So I pull in and hit like this 4-foot boulder, and the whole SUV goes up. I didn't learn.
Oh, damn. That's not a mistake that you want to have captured on film, is it?
Oh.
That's a mistake that makes you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to capture those.
I said, I'm going to need a minute to call the wife. I went behind a tree and I had to gather myself. Yeah, they all just stared at me. The camera went down, though. They didn't play through it. Yeah.
So. Yeah, that was an interesting experience. Sean crashed a car, I crashed a boat. Yeah. We buried one of our friends alive and then couldn't get him out. It was...
Oh, wow. Well, next, sounds like a hell of a show.
If we ever get another TV show, I'll say, listen, David Harbour told me we should all learn from this. Don't yell cut. Anyway, man, I tell you what, though, you got such an amazing career. I don't want to let you go, but I know everything is with time restraints, brother, and I love everything you do, and I'm going to turn you over to Nathan.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Hey, could you hold on to one line 1 second, David, while we close the show?
We'd love to talk to you for 1 minute after the show.
All right.
Sure.
Nathan, you got anything for Big Dave?
I have 100 things for him. I just want to tell everybody, get out and watch Suicide Squad. And sure. Yes, I will admit it. Go download Netflix so that you can watch Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And I'm giving up on all the things that I said I'd never do. But
yeah, we got you. We turned you.
You turned
well
me.
Yeah,
it's I'm one of the zombies now.
Anyway, guys, David Harbour, tonight's guest, Stranger Things. Oh, my God. Anyway, special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Spreaker, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Geeky Antics. Check them out at geekyantics.net. Thanks, guys, for the support. The SYL Project, give some love, share some love. Everybody needs love. Check them out at thesylproject.com. And, of course, Attentive Home Healthcare, good people willing to help the ones you love. Check them out, attentivehjc.com. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.